Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to On the Bench Instant Reaction. I'm Josh Newberg, and I got my boys Chris Knee and Brennan Sinone here with me. Promising second half of the season comes to a screeching halt as the Seminoles lose to the Gators to wrap up FSU's 2021 season. Florida State entered Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Gainesville with a lot on the line against one of the top in-state rivals. They leave disappointed after coming up short 24-21. FSU finishes the regular season 5-7 overall, while you have improved to 6-6 on the year. The Gators got off to a hot start. Things settled down from there. FSU went without Jordan Travis for a few series in the first half, and it looked like the game was about to get blown wide open. Mackenzie Milton comes in, nearly fumbles away his first snap, and throws an interception on his second drive. That was all we would see of Milton. Tate Rodemaker made an appearance before Travis re-entered and gave FSU a little bit of life. We saw another flat third quarter from this team and some fight at the end to make the score closer than it appeared. A disappointing end to the season. I'm going to bring in Brendan. I'm going to bring in Chris. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Just sitting here in the press box trying to crank some stuff out.
All right. Brendan, you okay?
Ditto. Same here.
All right. It's an instant reaction pod. So, fellas, Chris, first with you, react.
I mean, I thought it was a disappointing effort overall. FSU was not very sharp. They didn't play very well. That was an ugly first half overall by both clubs. Third quarter was a mess for FSU. Special teams were awful. Defense was really bad on third down in the first half of the game. They weren't really particularly good at it at any point in the game. There are just a lot of flaws, a lot of issues that they have. Kind of showed up all at once, and that's a big reason why they were so far down on the scoreboard, 17 at one point late in the game. They're not talented enough to overcome themselves when they're harmful to themselves, and they were very, very harmful to themselves today.
Brendan, chime in.
Okay. I agree that, yeah, there was a lot of self-inflicted errors. Special teams was a debacle, and that's something that's going to have to be addressed in the offseason. I know a lot of people want a coach to pay for it with his job. John Papuchas has coordinated good special teams before too. So that's something that's weird and inexplicable to me, but it has to be evaluated for sure. Like, that special teams has not been good all season, and it came back to bite you with the Pokey Wilson muff, and then the Parker Grothaus missed execution on the onside kick. Offense really, big play offense is what you had to do. That's kind of what they've been this season. Super yep. Limited with the offensive line. When Jordan Travis goes down, I mean, that kills you for three series. And you lose by a score. And yes, it was closer than maybe the score indicated, but you lose by that score. And you lose Jordan Travis for three series. You're inept without him. Those are two series that you one start off on, your UF's 40. Your own 40. And then, Jordan had the offense moving before he got hurt too. So, yeah. Again, the offense is so contingent on him. I guess I'm not surprised. You say take him away for three series and make him not 100%. Like, this is kind of the outcome you expect.
And then was this a little bit of a microcosm of the season? And
it was a microcosm. It was right? A macrocosm of the season. You start slow, you end fast, but it's just not enough at the end.
Special teams.
special teams. I mean, yeah, it was a microcosm for special teams. It was a microcosm.
I mean, of course, special teams comes back to essentially put the nail in the coffin in this one.
Very fitting, poetic.
Look at the third quarter for all you need to know about that. 7-21 leads to 3 points. 8-33 leads to a touchdown. Florida took 15 plays, gained 54 yards, and got 10 points out of it. And a lot of that is because special teams put them in a position to easily get points. One of those is Pokey Wilson muff. You can't afford to do that. You're giving away free points to a team that, you want to be dead and buried with instead of giving them life, and you gave them life.
Can I expand on that real quick? So that was the thing going into this game that I think all three of us talked about, was like, what are we going to get out of Florida? What are we going to see from from that program in terms of quit? Is that going to exist? And you basically, you know, Florida State during this final stretch of the season where they played so well, they've got up on teams early. They did against Miami and Boston College, especially early. And they just weren't able to do that today for a variety of reasons. You give UF a chance to have momentum, to build on itself, to kind of figure things out and overcome three turnovers in the first half. And this is, you know, what happens. You're just not a better team than Florida from a talent perspective right now. You're not a better team than most of the teams you played this year. You allow them to kind of build a little bit of a lead like that. Just makes things really tough.
One thing we saw that was unexpected was Florida State, I thought, got dominated in the trenches on both sides of the ball today. More surprisingly, though, the defensive line was fairly ineffective today. Did Florida do something different, Chris, or was it just kind of the end of the season and it just didn't happen for them?
Well, when Emory was in there, they did a lot of quick passes to the flat. So that helps neutralize your defensive ends to some degree, basically because you're not giving them enough time to get home. Jermaine made some plays. Keir Thomas had a play or two. I remember Robert Cooper having at least a couple of plays where he disrupted things up front. So it's not like that group was completely null and void. But I think it's fair to say they were neutralized comparatively to the strength that they usually are. Mm-hmm. I think Florida did a good job. Now, there was a point, it seemed like, that drive that went from the end of the third quarter into the beginning of the fourth quarter for Florida, where I don't know if they were feeling sorry for themselves or they were just downright exhausted. Don't know which it was, but Florida kind of took it to them. I mean, they ran it right at them and kind of bashed their faces. And that was kind of telling to me that Florida was able to do that. Florida's not a team that has done that to a ton of people here recently, even though they've been a very good running team all year. That's not to diminish what Florida is on the ground, but they were far more imposing their will than I expected at any point in this game. And offensive line-wise, FSU was bad on the day. Robert Scott got beat really badly twice, that I recall. Darius Washington had probably his worst rep of the entire season at one point. Maurice Smith has continued to be a weakness over the last several weeks, and that's an issue, and that's something they've got to address. He's either going to get bigger and stronger or they're going to move on from him.
Brendan, any thoughts on FSU's offensive line today? Not their best performance.
It is what it is, man. It is what it is. Like Chris said, I mean, Darius Washington playing far from 100%. He gives up his first sack of the season, and you know there's growth there, but he's not healthy. And Robert Scott got worked on the edge. That was clear. You know, the reaction you see is that from a lot of fans, though, Florida State got out coached, they got pencil whipped. The game plan wasn't good. When you lose in the trenches, you're going to have a really hard time winning throughout the rest of the course and other aspects of the game. And that's just the bottom line. That doesn't mean there weren't moments where, yeah, the clock management was bad at the end of the first half. I wish FSU was more aggressive on the Pokey Wilson muffed punt. I wish they were more aggressive and tried to block it with Florida, you know, backed up into their own end zone. But that being said, it all comes down to the trenches. We've talked about that all season. When the offensive line is healthy and has all five of their guys intact, like they're very competent with Jordan there running the offense, if not, you know, good at times. We saw that against North Carolina. The issue is this line just not 100%. Devontae Love Taylor not in there. You know, feel bad for him. This season he had was a shell of what he was last year, and then that was a huge loss. You have to get the offensive line better in the offseason. I think that means Darius Washington, Robert Scott continuing to have full off seasons where they can add weight, add strength, get better. You got to figure out what you're doing with Maurice Smith at center. Mm-hmm. This is all big picture stuff. I know it's an instant reaction podcast. It all it's okay. Wasn't good, and they're not going to be good against, you know, upper tier power five teams or upper half power five teams, average power five teams, until they can update the depth and the overall strength of the offensive line.
Yeah, and one of the hot topics heading into the offseason is definitely going to be whether or not Florida State needs a transfer quarterback. Today we saw Florida State empty the bench. They used all three of their available quarterbacks, all three of their scholarship quarterbacks. Mixed results. We'll I'll try to be nice. I'll try to be optimistic.
Yeah,
Jordan, something to say there, Chris?
There's your mix. Results, that's your mix.
I mean, the results can't really be mixed when the results are all the same.
Yeah, that's true. And the results were terrible. And this team needs an insurgence of talent at the quarterback position. However you want to cut it, whether like I can't see this team entering 2022 without taking a transfer quarterback. I think that would, you know, I think they need some experience on this roster. Jordan Travis, at times he is the heartbeat of this team, but you know, this is what I was saying all summer too. It's whether or not he can stay healthy. It's whether or not he's available to play. And when he goes down, Florida State has gigantic question marks after him. And I just don't know if AJ Duffy is going to be enough for us to feel confident about that position. I think they're going to need to make another add, but
we also need to not get tunnel vision of it being solely a quarterback issue. That offense needs to get better in every
way. Yeah.
They need much, much better.
That's
receivers.
A given.
The O-line has to improve and the running back room is pretty good, but it wouldn't hurt to have a guy who can be another guy within that group.
And I don't think anybody's been harder on the wide receiver room than I have.
Right. But I mean, today, leading receivers, Andrew Parchment, 5 for 53, but he was targeted 10 times. So he had a 50% catch rate. And he had a couple one-on-ones that he lost, including one that turned into a turnover because he did not win or compete enough on the one-on-one.
It's funny leading up to the OPI, and the OPI was questionable in my opinion, but the interception, I mean, Jordan needs to throw a better ball, but I mean, you can see that up from the press box pre-play. I elbow Chris, like they got him one-on-one, the way the safety is kind of rotated.
He can't win one-on-ones.
And that's the issue. It's like, even if Jordan doesn't put a great
ball, he got muscled for that ball. He got boxed out, he got bodied, and he got muscled for that football by a freshman. And so here's a kid that came in to be a number one wide receiver at Florida State. He's had so many chances to be that guy. They've given him the ball in so many games. Against Jacksonville State, he couldn't win a one-on-one. Against UF, of course he's not going to win a one-on-one. My question to you, Brendan, are we done with the sevens at Florida State? Do you think that we see either of the sevens return to FSU next year?
Well, Andrew Parchment's eligibility has been exhausted. We'll always
Seven gone. Okay. Tell me about the other seven.
We'll always have 4th and 14. I mean, Jerrion Jones, you know, he gives up a touchdown today. He was in good position, too. It was just a really good ball and a good catch.
A microcosm of the season, Brendan. A macrocosm of the season.
Macrocosm. That's the headline for the podcast, is a macrocosm. I mean, yeah, you got to get better than Jerrion Jones, and they have. I mean, he's been relegated to as a backup, and that's probably what his role at this point, ideally, is someone who plays 15, 20 snaps.
Well, if he comes back, just change his number for me.
Okay, no more sevens.
Just no more sevens. Unlucky sevens. All right. Anything else as we head into the offseason? We got recruiting up right now on Knowles 24/7. Zach catching up with a lot of the commitments. We're just trying to really find out what they felt of the season overall now that it's over. And I think you would be surprised by some of their reactions. Got about a half dozen or so right now. Zach on the phone with a bunch of them, going to continue to talk. We also have a deal going on right now on Knowles 24/7, 75% off. I know a lot of you have been waiting for the promo all season. This is it. It doesn't get much better. It comes out to like $24 for the year. It's insane. Go to the front page of Knowles 24/7, look in the right upper right-hand corner. There's a green link that says join. It'll take you to the promo. Only a couple of days left. Take advantage of it now. Don't get in my DMs later asking when the next promo is going to be.
I have one thought before we go, we wrap up here. And I'm sure we'll do a season post-mortem sometime this week coming up. And as we turn our attention almost exclusively to recruiting for the next few months. Beginning of the season, we all said 5 wins to 6 wins was reasonable for this team. After the 0-4 start, I think that was something that we all thought was impossible. They battled. They got there. This team has played hard even today. Again, this was the macrocosm of the season. You get down early. You fight. You find a way to at least be competitive. You show effort when people are kind of ready to write you off. Me too. I thought it was going to get bad today. And they kept fighting. What did Bobby Bowden say?
I don't know if we've said it on this pod.
Have we heard it?
You lose a lot, you lose a little, then you almost win, then you blow them out, something like that.
Not quite as articulate as Coach put it, but you know, this is, I think we're firmly in the lose by little phase, and that doesn't mean you win, you know, you lose every single game, but you're a 500 football team is kind of what we thought this team would be. So I know it's frustrating. I know people want to egg the season with a win against Florida. That would have been great. They had their chances to do it too, despite not playing very well. But that's where the program is right now. And that's where it was supposed to be at the beginning of this year, based if you were applying logic and thoughtfulness to where you were seeing the program go. So they're still on track, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't think today disrupts it. I think it would have been a cherry on top to get you the extra bowl game and to be a selling point. That's disappointing. This offseason is going to be about talent acquisition, whether you can get guys in the transfer portal, whether you can hold on to the recruiting class to help you take that next step to win by a little in 2022. Nailed it.
Yeah. Just to add to Sinone's point, the only thing I would say is that, yeah, it's all about adding more talent, but it's also, I think this team goes into the off season, and thankfully it's a much more regular going into an off season than we had a year ago. Kind of knowing who and what they are. And I think that's a positive as you get back in the strength and conditioning program and the off season program, and eventually into the spring. Of the foundation is pretty soundly laid at this point. I think that's a big positive. Next year isn't going to be as much about learning about themselves. Next year is going to be all about, you have to improve. You have to be better. There has to be better results. It's a crucial, crucial year for this program, for the head coach, for the players that are kind of the foundational base of this group that they've gone young with. So, yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure doing these instant reaction podcasts all season. Some were better than others. We will see you guys on Knowles 24/7. Going to be a busy week of recruiting. Coaches hit the road at 6 a.m. We will have full coverage all week. Tune in. Chris, Brendan, see you guys on the site.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.